Hands up if you've made a New Year's resolution. Now's the time to come clean. Okay, some of you may not have made resolutions, but hands up if you've thought of things you want to change this year. Maybe you've written them down, but they're not a resolution, okay? If they're a resolution, they're likely to fail. They reckon about 80% fail by February. But this is because change is so difficult. As humans, we find it difficult to change ourselves. Some surveys show that around 1 in 5 people bought a self-help book last year. And these books can sometimes be helpful. They sometimes help us. But reading a self-help book doesn't give you the desire to change. Even if you have a deep desire to change, it doesn't always happen in the way that you would like it to. The Bible paints a very different picture about how true and lasting change happens. And this morning we're going to look at new life and transformation, particularly in relation to what Mick and Marlene have shared and what has happened to them. And we're going to look at Romans chapter 6. We're going to just look at 4 verses from there. If you're not aware, Romans is a book in the Bible, and it was written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome, which he was very keen to visit. And Paul's main focus in writing this letter was to do with the relationship between Jews and Gentiles, and to lay the foundation for their relationships. He clearly explains the gospel. In the first 8 chapters, there is a very, very full explanation of what the gospel is, the good news. And he starts by saying, the bad news really, he starts by saying that everyone has fallen short of the glory. The Jews have fallen short, the Gentiles have fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone has sinned. And the consequences of sin is death. But that's the bad news. Then he starts to explain the good news. And the good news is that God has made a way for sinners to be forgiven. And forgiveness is based purely, 100%, on what God has done. We bring absolutely nothing to the table. If you're here this morning thinking, next year if I prayed more, God would like me more. It's not true. We bring nothing to the table. We bring nothing to add to our rightness before God. And the question that arises here, if we truly understand God's grace and we understand that it's nothing to do with us, the logical question is, why should I change? If we truly understand the grace of God, why should I change? Why should I stop sinning? And Paul then, in 4 verses, where he expands it, but we're just going to look at 4 today, he explains something of God's grace. So we're just going to look at the first 4 verses. And it says this: what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. I want to just draw 2 points from this morning. And the first is that new life is only possible through death. Paul's answer to the question, shall we carry on sinning, is a very clear no. No. And he makes it abundantly clear that what's happened, if you've become a Christian, what's happened is you've actually died. He speaks about dying to sin, dying to the old way of living. And what Mick and Marlene have both done, it signifies something that's happened in their lives. In one sense, you've attended a funeral today. Because Mick, the old Mick, is dead. The old Marlene is dead. They've died to themselves. They've been buried in the waters of baptism. so that the death of Christ on the cross is also their death. Why have we baptized Mick and Marlene? Because they've made the decision to stop living for themselves and to follow Jesus. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. It's Matthew 16, 24. Now, we can miss in our culture and day how radical this was. We have crosses on necklaces, crosses on buildings. They weren't there in Jesus' day. The only place that a cross was seen was when someone was dying on it. They weren't monuments. It was purely an instrument of death. It was a hangman's noose, an electric chair. Jesus was saying, if you want to experience new life, you must first deny yourself. You must first die to yourself and choose to follow him. And this is what repentance is. It's actually turning away from your old way of living. It's actually saying, I want to die to myself. I want to live for God. And this is a step of faith. But it's faith placed in the one who came to die for you. And the result of this burial this morning is that we've actually brought them back up, okay? We didn't leave them in there, thank goodness. And that's because new life comes from Jesus. Verse 4 says, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, he rose from the dead, by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. All of this is based upon what Jesus did. I love that last song because it spoke about what he did and what a difference it makes to us. So those who die to themselves and are buried in baptism are raised to new life with Jesus. And it's with identifying with Jesus in his death that we get to share with him in his new life. And this is how lasting, true and lasting transformation happens. We had the prayer from Christian about new creation. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old Mick, the old Marlene have gone. Now, caterpillars are pretty cool, aren't they? Some of them. Some are a bit boring, but that's a pretty cool caterpillar, isn't it? Anyone agree? That's a pretty cool caterpillar, okay? I found when we lived in South Africa, there was a very cool caterpillar that on its back, it looked like a zebra.
That bird.
Oh. I put caterpillar up and it came up with that. I thought that was a pretty cool caterpillar, but it's not a caterpillar. Eh? Could be disguised as a caterpillar. Thank you. I didn't look at the image closely enough. The coolest caterpillar you've ever seen because it's not a caterpillar. Yeah, I need my glasses. Okay, that's not a cool caterpillar, but there are some very cool caterpillars. There's some very hairy caterpillars, which look cool, hey? But they're nothing compared to butterflies. Now, these are butterflies, okay? They don't, just check. Nothing compared to butterflies. But it's only as the caterpillar dies, goes in the cocoon and effectively dies, that then it can come to new life as a butterfly. It's transformed. And this is kind of what's happened to Mick and Marlene. I don't know whether men like to be called butterflies, but Mick, you're a butterfly this morning. There's a transformation that's happened, and it's not external, which we see with caterpillars and butterflies, but in their heart, something has changed. You've been transformed. It's Jesus. He's done a work in your heart. And the key to really living out the freedom and the new life that he's won is there's two things I want you to remember this morning, Mick and Marlene. And for all of us who are in faith in Jesus, we must remember these things. The first is remembering who you are in Jesus. Our thoughts are so powerful. I play golf. Not that well, although I did have a good round over Christmas, which I was very happy with. But the challenge, when you stand over the ball and the legs start to shake and there's water in front, the challenge is to not think, don't hit it in the water. Because if that happens, you're in the water. Or to not think about that last bad shot you hit. Because what happens? You hit it again. And for Mick and Marlene, the key to enjoying this life is not to dwell on the past. but remembering that you're different now. You're different. You don't have to live as you did before because you're different. You're new creations. My children love The Lion King. If I had a pound for every time we'd heard one of their songs over the holidays, I would be minted. But if you've not seen it before, it's the story of Simba. It's the story of this lion cub who's due to be king. And he's excited about being king. He's excited about the future. But his father's killed. And Simba's driven from his home in guilt. And he meets two friends along the way who sing good songs. They're great to be with. And they teach him Hakuna Matata, a life of carefree, no responsibilities. And it's only by chance when he meets an old friend, Nala, that his thoughts then start to return to his homeland and the situation there. And one night he sees a vision of his father. And his father tells him one thing. He says, remember who you are. Remember who you are. And it's as he remembers who he is that then he can go back and face the evil Scar and win back the Pride Lands. But this advice from the Lion King is quite important for us as Christians. Okay, it's not who we are in ourselves. It's who we are because of what God's done. It's who we are because we're new creations. Remember who you are. And for all of us who follow Jesus, that's key. Remember who you are. That's why sometimes on Sundays we sing, I am a child of God. We remind ourselves who we are. Then we can fully live that life of faith that God's placed before us. So Marlene, Mick, remind yourselves who you are. Read scripture, remind yourself who you are. Secondly, rely on God's power and grace. Some change happens straight away. You may find in these coming days that something has changed and it's instantaneous. Something in your heart has changed. You have a fresh love for people or anger that you struggled with before. Suddenly, it doesn't seem to affect you in the same way. But some change is more difficult. Some things you're going to be working on for the rest of your life. Some battles. And the key to living new life with Jesus is learning to rely on him to help you change. If you just grit your teeth, you might get somewhere, but it often ends up with failure and then guilt. But whereas if you ask for God's help and you rely on his grace, and when you mess up, you come to him for his grace and mercy, things will slowly start to change. All of this is rooted in what Jesus has done for you through his life, death, and resurrection. And the good news about this all is that Jesus rose from the dead. And there is a day for all those in Christ Jesus when we too will rise. Eternal life, where there will be freedom from all of life's challenges and difficulties. There will be absolute freedom from that because the reign and rule of Christ will be known. We will meet him face to face. No more suffering, no more sickness, no more pain, no more death. That's what lies before us. If you thought there was joy today, which there is, there will be endless joy on that day. You know, in films sometimes, you know, at the end of The Phantom Menace, or sometimes when there's a great celebration because evil has been conquered. These are small, insignificant pictures of something that we will celebrate on that day when Jesus returns. And all evil is over. And what a celebration there will be on that day. We're excited to see what God is going to do with Mick and Marlene. We're excited. But what about you? What about your life? Would you like to experience new life and freedom? Would you like to experience genuine change and transformation? It's only found in coming to Jesus. We're not a church who puts people under pressure. Your decision to follow Jesus is between you and God. It's not for me to put you under pressure. But sometimes the Holy Spirit prod your conscience and you think, you know what? I really need to look into this. Maybe today God's speaking to you. Come and speak to one of the team. We're not here to put you under pressure, but we'd love to talk to you. Maybe an alpha course is the next thing to think about. You've got questions. Come and look at the Christian faith. Come and see what it's all about. Ask your questions. We're starting our course in January, and I'll do that in the notices, but there are flyers here. Come and collect one. Come and think about it.